News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Stubbornly high figure of new cases, 2,608 new cases of the virus confirmed yesterday. We're joined by Professor Sam McConkie, infectious disease specialist at the Royal College of Surgeons, Ireland. Sam, we're kind of over 3 weeks into this lockdown now, and most people, the surveys would suggest, are doing the right thing. Those figures are still stubbornly high, though, aren't they?
Yes. Morning, Shane. Unfortunately, you know, sitting at 2,000 cases a day is very unstable and inevitably leads to lots of sick people and sadly lots of deaths. So certainly we need to continue on and do what we can to get the numbers down. I'm reasonably confident that they will come down. You know, they were 8,000 a day, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I think we're in a better place now than we're 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'm hoping, doing what we're doing, that we will be down. The big question, of course, is how long is it going to take? And unfortunately, it's going to take more than a couple of weeks. I think we're looking at, you know, maybe 6-8 weeks of this to get it down to stable levels.
Yeah, we'll come back to the duration of the lockdown, because there's a lot of focus on that this morning. But why do you think it has been so slow to come down this time around? Is it this new variant? Is it the fact that we had literally so many cases at the beginning of January that we're still seeing the knock on, you know, people who are living with those people who got it and in bubbles with people who got it are now getting it. Is that the main problem?
I think it's a combination of those factors. I think you're spot on that if there was one person in a household had it a week or two ago, then unfortunately they because they live with other people, and, you know, we all do quite appropriate things with the people we live with and we're close, we share sometimes, you know, bathrooms and kitchens and bedrooms even with people we live with and are close to them, that inevitably leads to little household outbreaks. And because we live in households as humans, we're part of communities, there's not much you can do about that. So that sort of second thing is happening. The new variant is very difficult to know how big a deal that is in Ireland. It seems to me the data is showing it's sort of slightly less than half of our cases. So to blame it as the sole problem, I think, is a bit wrong. It's part of the mix, but not the sole problem. And then, I mean, I think there's a little bit of fatigue. I think it's fair to say we're all tired of this. Nobody really is enjoying this. We all just like the thing to go away. So it's hard to really maybe be as careful and as thorough and as meticulous as maybe we were in March and April, because we're all just saying, you know, where is this going? We're kind of exhausted. We'd like to just get back on with the plans we had in our lives back in 2019. So there may be some element of fatigue.
Lockdown, there's reports in the paper suggesting it's now going to last, this level five is going to last at least until until St. Patrick's Day. Let's hope it's not just at least until St. Yeah. Patrick's Day. Do you think that's a good thing? And do you think there's any chance schools will be back on the 1st of February?
So there's two separate questions there. The first one on the duration, I think it's better not to see it in chronological time, not to measure the duration in weeks or months or to a deadline. That might have been one of the, let's say, errors that we made in retrospect, that we decided to open up our country for December, for Christmas, to save Christmas, to do our shopping and hospitality and meeting multi-generation over Christmas. And because Christmas is time fixed on the 25th of December, you can't move it around much. So I think next time we should keep restrictions until the numbers are down low enough that we're confident we can keep them down. Because really, I think we can all agree that none of us want to be into, you know, lockdown number four. That's definitely something none of us want. So it's a matter of getting the numbers down low enough to where we can keep them down. And how long that will take, you know, it's difficult to predict until you get there. So I think we have to not put a chronological time on it in this point. And that's what many of the public health doctors and the government and people in other countries are saying, that you can't always predict exactly how long these will take. On the schools,
yeah,
I think schools are different one from another. That we have, you know, there are schools for children with special needs where the children really suffer and regress by not having their community. And I think if they're in a little bubble with, say, excuse me, two or three students, two or three special needs assistants and a teacher, so you have a little bubble with just six or seven people, same consistent six or seven people every single day in the classroom, and those six or seven people are not meeting other people in the school from other bubbles, then that tiny little micro unit of educational support and teaching becomes a relatively safe thing to do. Similarly, primary schools, we all know that, you know, little children of 4 and 5 and 6 just don't function over Zoom. You can't give them Zoomed lessons that you expect them to learn. Right. They learn about sociability and how to be nice to each other and so on. So
are you heading towards saying here secondary school is problematic here, Sam?
Yeah, so whereas, well, not only is it problematic, but someone, say, in fifth year, who's going into a Leaving Cert cycle with a combination of, say, what RTE are doing and books from home and support from their teacher over the internet and homework and internet media rich teaching, probably can learn a lot. Many of them are organized. They're more internet savvy than the people in the 30s and 40s, and they're comfortable on the internet. You know, 2 years ago, we're telling them all not to be on the internet. Now we're saying you can't.
So in a word, we're a little tight for time. In a word, are you saying February 1st isn't realistic for secondary school students?
No, I wouldn't put a date on it. And I think we should separate out different types of education. I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all. Education is very different for a 4-year-old versus an 18-year-old and a child with special needs versus somebody who's comfortable in a big 600-person school. So I do hope what we've learned is it's harder to get schools open than to close them. And remember back in March how difficult it was to get the creches open. Building trust and confidence to get things open is so hard. So I hope we do it as a nation because the children need it.
Okay, all right, Sam McConkie, thank you indeed for that. I want to bring in Roisin Shorthall, co-leader of the Social Democrats. Roisin, just the EU leaders looking at a ban on non-essential travel within the EU bloc, and Tony Holohan warning about travel and saying we need to have some level of quarantine for people coming into the country. It's a call from Tony Holohan that you support.
Good morning, Shane. Yes, indeed. The most recent letter from NPHET is very clear that the arrangements that are in place at the moment are just inadequate. It shouldn't be a discretionary thing whether somebody self-isolates, and it shouldn't be discretionary about the need for a second test. Now, you know, the whole question of travel has been the weakest link in the government's response to COVID, and really it's time for them to deal with this properly. We're in a very precarious situation at the moment. As Sam said there, numbers remaining extremely high, a huge concern about the new variants, particularly the UK one, and we know there are others there, the South African and Brazilian, and the numbers remaining very, very high and stubbornly high, and, you know, we're not following the expected pattern where they would go down rapidly. So we cannot continue with rolling lockdowns. That's just not sustainable socially or economically. So the government needs to take a new approach, and it should be about driving down the figures as low as possible, getting them down to two-digit figures, really low two-digit figures, and keeping them down through proper testing and tracing. But that also requires controls on the borders. Like, Europe has been
including the border with Northern Ireland, Roisin?
There needs to be a high level of cooperation with Northern Ireland. I mean, the government has said from the very beginning, going back to last March when I raised this with them, when they said, oh, you couldn't do that because of the North. Look, it's about finding out what is possible. It's about making every effort to work with the authorities in the North, because there are distinct advantages for North and South in terms of using the benefit of our island status. We could work together closely and really drive down those figures. And if we take that kind of approach, which is essentially a zero COVID approach, it is absolutely possible for us to do that in cooperation, North and South.
Roisin, quarantine, you think people coming into the country who don't have a test should be quarantined for 2 weeks?
But no, look, I think it's very important to be aware of what the advice is. It's not about having one test before you come in. That tells you at a point you don't have COVID, but you could be incubating it. So all of the advice is that there has to be two tests, there has to be quarantine in the middle. But, you know, Shane, it's important to bear in mind, if we go for a strict quarantine system, if we have controls on the borders, it means we can open up our economy and open up society.
Okay.
And, you know, let's learn from those countries countries that have been successful at doing this. The alternative is what the Taoiseach is talking about, pubs and restaurants being closed until the end of May and then rolling lockdowns after
Roisin Shorthold, co-leader of the Social Democrats, thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.